Welcome to Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits. This is episode 60, and today we're exploring in depth one of the Speyside whiskies, Aberlour. It was established around 1789 by a man named James Fleming, and like every other distillery, has gone through many, many owners. I believe he sold it to Robert Thorne. They sold it to W.H. Holt. Then it went to S. Campbell and Sons. In 75, Pernod Ricard acquired Campbell Distilleries, and they joined the Chivas Brothers in 2001, forming a portfolio of 14 single malt distilleries, one grain distillery, and two gin distilleries in England. So, we can look at that. So the three that we're doing today is the kind of standard Aberlour 12-year, and I have had that one before, and I know I liked it. The second one is the Aberlour Cask Anam, and the third is the Aberlour Abuna, which is cask strength. So that should be the most challenging and stabby one, probably. So we're doing that last. Mm-hmm. I know. Oh, and I'm Marlis.
I'm Judy.
And I'm John.
And that's who we are.
That's who we are. Gotta be that forever, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Judy is gonna kick us off with the 12-year.
Oh, yeah. I guess I should bring up my info.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the Aberlour 12-year is 40% alcohol by volume, so it's 80 proof, which is a nice thing to start off with. It is double casked. It's traditional oak and seasoned sherry butts, or boats, whatever one you like.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to be butts, though. And they're both used for the maturation process. And then they're combined together to deliver a subtly balanced flavour. It's spelled the same as Aberlour. Yeah. That's about as much humor as I've got me today. All right. So the color, or color, is...
Stop.
Okay. Do I have to?
Yes.
Is golden amber with hints of ruby.
It's very pretty.
If they keep throwing O-U-Rs at me,
I know.
I'm doing
I know,
it. Sorry.
Okay.
That's, we Americans, we are so bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Golden amber with hints of ruby is the color. It is... It's kind of hard to tell. It's kind of dark around here. It's winter. Well, almost winter. And the nose should be soft and rounded with fruity notes of red apple. Not green.
Red.
Not puce.
Not yellow.
Not pink, but red.
I'm getting a fair amount of alcohol in the...
Yeah,
now, we just opened the bottle, too, so it may be that it just hasn't...
hasn't opened up yet. Yeah. We'll just sniff it again later. An excuse to have more, because we know we like this one.
That's right.
All right, and the palate should be a fine sherried character. Fruity aromas balanced with rich chocolate. Ooh, they got me a chocolate.
Mm. And I can actually taste the chocolate. Usually when they say things like that, I'm like, what? It tastes like scotch. And I can especially in the aftertaste, get the sensation.
Yeah, the finish,
chocolate sensation.
The aftertaste.
Aftertaste?
It's finish.
Sorry.
Aftertaste just sounds bad,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it does.
It makes it sound like, it's got quite an aftertaste. Mm-hmm. But no, it's as a finish. And it says the finish should be warm and lingering, sweet and spicy. And it definitely is spicy.
Yeah.
Spicy.
And sweet.
Well, and sweet too. Yeah, no, this is this is a really nice... You know, if you're interested in Speysides in general, and, you know, don't mind a bit of sherry in there, which I like. I have to admit.
Yeah, I do like it. Well, I've noticed that as we've explored the world of spirits, that I really enjoy things that are done in sherry casks. That I just enjoy that sherry flavor. Or flavour. Forgot.
Yes. And one thing I read, and I didn't really have a chance to check it out, so I'm passing it on, but it might not be true, is that Aberlour is one of the few distilleries where all of their production goes into single malts. They don't like sell off a lot of stuff to be mixed with grain and, you know, issued in blends. So
if you know different, email us at
funwithscotch@gmail.com.
Okay. I always forget what it is. It could be FWS whatever. Mm-hmm. Fun with Scotch.
It could, but it's not.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is fun. Okay.
This is good.
It is very good.
Yes, it is.
I'm feeling warm.
Well, and it's you know, we were saying that it was a little bitey or a little alcohol-y on the nose, and I think that is because we just opened the bottle. But it's very smooth going down.
No, yeah.
There's not much bite. There's just a lot of flavor and, you know, the caramel and the fruit, you know, kind of darkish fruit. And a little bit of chocolate.
I think it's supposed to be apple, but okay.
Oh, apple.
A lot of stuff we drink says dark cherries, so it's so.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
No,
but yeah.
No, this is more, yeah. Probably, but more toward the citrus. Yeah, I was going to say it's very smooth, considering that the aroma was a little strong. But no, I like it.
All right, we will move on to our second selection with John.
Which is Cask Annam. Aberlour Cask Annam, meaning rare cask in Scots Gaelic, is a no-age statement single malt created in small batches from whiskey matured in Oloroso sherry casks.
Yay!
So, another sherry cask. Maturation. The casks perfectly complement the distillate of Aberlour, which is perhaps best known for its cult Abunad expression, a cask-strength 100% sherry cask matured single malt, which we're doing.
We have
next,
that's
right?
Number three.
Yeah, we're doing that one next. So this the Cask Annam is 48% alcohol by volume, with no age statement. As I said, it's non chilled filtered. On the nose, you should get apples, pears, honey, malt, graham, orange zest, sherry sweetness, toffee, and a bit of spice.
You definitely get the, what was it? List those again.
I'm getting some orange zest.
Yeah.
Apples, pears, honey, malt.
Honey, that's what I really...
I
can also detect the sherry in it.
Yeah. Not sure I get the toffee, but maybe.
It would go really nice with toffee, though.
If
we had any toffee, which we don't.
This is true.
Yeah.
So on the palate, you should get honey, spice, graham, complex orchard fruit.
What's graham?
I'm guessing like the graham cracker flavor.
Okay. All right.
Or some guy named Graham.
I know.
They just threw him in.
That brings up...
Like Graham Greene or something.
Then I envision him drowning in the sherry butt or something.
It was a midsummer...
You should taste Graham.
It was a midsummer mysteries...
That's right.
Midsummer murder episode where the guy falls into the vat of, in this case, scotch. So,
Yeah, that show was wine, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was wine.
Yeah.
There was there was an episode that did that.
This is Nemi also. And I think because it's been open a little bit, I don't get as much alcohol in the aroma. Oh.
Yeah, you should also taste dark fruit, toffee, char, cocoa, and a bit of spice.
The spice.
The finish is supposed to be long with dense fruit, malt, and oak fade to spice.
It's interesting. I get a little bit of burn in the finish.
I was just thinking
My tongue is tingling.
Have we done the Aberlour? Aberlour 12 before?
I think we have.
I'm just trying to figure out what episode it was so that we could tell people what episode in case someone listened to that one too.
Oh, yeah.
But I cannot find
That's definitely more complex than the other ones.
In some ways, it was when you first start drinking it, it felt a little smoother than actually the 12, but then it has that burny thing.
You get a little heat at the end. It's not bad, though.
No, it's not really stabby. It's just, you know, like, hey.
Yeah, a little warm and tingly.
Hey, I'm going to prick you with the end of my knife.
Maybe.
But I'm not going to plunge it in.
Well, that's good.
Okay.
Okay, let me. I want one more swallow here. That is very
It is very, very nice.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it something for beginners.
Well, maybe not. No.
Even though it's smooth at first, but it does tend to burn a bit.
Well, and you've got an additional 8% ABV there, so you should expect a little bit more of a burn. But I don't think it's... I don't find it off-putting.
No,
but
no,
again, depending on how much you like
we
that sort
of thing. We are seasoned Scotch drinkers.
Yes. So
well-seasoned.
Yeah. We are well-seasoned.
I know, well-preserved.
Yeah. Probably because of all the Scotch drinking. Mm-hmm. I am not seeing Abelard on our list of
maybe we haven't done it. We did Aberfeldy, I think. I always get the two confused sometimes.
We had what?
Aberfeldy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now we're going to move on to number three. And this is going to be, I think, the most interesting. This is Abuna, and this is Batch 77. And from the various reviews I read, it really does matter which batch you're dealing with. So our comments are going to be specific to Batch 77.
Yeah, because the batches can taste different.
Yeah, and this is an ABV of 60.8%.
Lordy, lordy.
So 121 okay. and a half proof. Yeah. Yeah. So one thing, and this is, it says it's aged exclusively in Spanish Oloroso sherry butts. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't actually figure out if they mean it doesn't go into oak at all, or if it is completely matured in sherry, which could be, or, you know, the language is a little confusing, and I read several things. So, you know, just keep that in mind, that we're not sure.
That sounds like it's only in sherry.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so the nose. One, they say, do not put your nose right in the glass, because... Again, at cask strength, this is...
Well, if you need to have your nose hairs shortened...
Well, yeah. Oh.
You could.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it smells good, though, if you keep your nose above the...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it has a lovely aroma. Mm-hmm. I live dangerously, and I actually put my nose in there.
Okay.
I have a short nose, though, so I'm not a pug, but my nose is short.
And this... trying to think where I got this, the tasting notes from this. I think it might be Scotch Noob. Which, and he was pretty fun on this. He said, the nose should be deeply raisiny with more rancio, which I'm not sure what that is, and balsamic than prior batches. Strong nose tickle. Need to keep nose out of glass. It smells drier. Less fresh, vibrant fruit and more oakiness and dried fruit. Deep in the glass if you dare. I know, it's like, oh, we dare, we dare. There is a layer of unctuous, gooey caramel and fudge brownie. I'm going in.
That sounds like dessert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, definitely raisins and even the brownie, actually.
Yeah, I know, I know.
That's nice.
This is a tasty, a nice smelly little booger, anyway. Okay, then the palate. There should be a syrupy body, salted caramel, and oh God, it burns, he says. Okay, once that's out of the way, the seared remnants of my tongue pick up deep sugary oak, maple syrup but not maple, dusty dried prunes, raisins, fig jam, sawdust, and birch beer. At first I thought it said bitch beer, but it's not. It's birch beer.
Okay.
And sawdust. Sawdust is not something I would normally look for.
I can't find the sawdust for the burning. I think my sawdust burned off.
Okay, so, I mean, again, this is, you know, much stronger than any of us normally drink.
No, you don't normally drink this. This is true.
What was the kid on The Simpsons? I can't remember the goofy kid. He says, tastes like burning.
Yeah, okay, this one's stabby. Well, but it's still, it does have a nice, what is it, creamy, oily feel to it. You know, the mouthfeel.
There's a lot of flavors going on, too.
Oh, yeah, it's
amid the flames.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the flames do pass, and then you can actually enjoy it more.
Put it out with a fire extinguisher. Yeah, that definitely is not one I'm going for seconds. I doubt that I don't like it. It tastes really, it actually tastes good. This is something that if you've been out in the cold and you just really need to warm up fast, this will do it. because I can, my throat and all the way down to my stomach are mm-hmm. very warm, mm-hmm. and I just took a sip.
Did you see Good Omens 2? I don't know if you watched Good Omens 1. Anyway, there's a scene in there where Gabriel, the archangel, who has forgotten who he is, arrives at the bookshop. No, we need to put this wrong. And Aziraphale gives him hot chocolate. And he's like, oh, it's doing this wonderful thing in my mouth. And then it's doing this neat, oh, and it goes all the way down. You know, and it's like, this does
that's
that.
It. Mm-hmm. So if you're a Good Omens fan and you've seen that, you'll
so
know.
So if you come in cold, wet, and cranky, sip a little of this, and mm-hmm. you will be warm, yes. wet, and cranky.
Yeah,
perhaps,
you're warm,
you know?
Warm mm-hmm. and wet, and possibly cranky.
Mm-hmm.
John, did you need a drink of water?
Well, you know, it's a little burning on the back of the throat.
Right, but this is really not that. That isn't my glass of water. Yeah. So you might want to go get a glass of water.
Well, I have to go get a straw because I had a straw. You know, we always add a little bit of water for the second round to try how things work with a little water. But the cat stole the straw out of the water, so I have to go.
Oh, okay, they took it out of the water?
Yeah.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Perloff.
He loves straws.
Yeah,
I guess
this was,
so.
This is pretty harsh on the back of my throat.
Oh. Huh. Okay, just a minute. I'll get you a water, too.
I would recommend ice with this.
Oh, no. Well, okay, maybe one cube.
Yeah.
Don't be bossy, Marla.
Something to take the edge off.
I will. I will boss. It will be bossing.
And you don't have to recommend it, but I will. So there.
There is that.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Thank
now,
you.
We can put some water in the scotches and see how they hold up. Mm. The abuna does repeat on you a bit, but... Other than that, bink. Excuse me. All right. So first, the 12-year with a little bit of water. That does dilute it a bit. I'm not saying it wouldn't be lovely with, you know, an ice cube or so, mm-hmm. but. Given that we're dealing with fairly small amounts because we don't want to be actually on the floor at the end of the tasting, I think the water kind of overpowers it. Other voices?
I'm thinking that it's kind of hard to tell, honestly, since we just mm-hmm. had the really strong stuff just moments before. I don't think it hurts it a lot, but it does. I think it does.
Yeah, it waters it
does,
down.
It does
definitely.
Tone it down some. It does water it down a bit, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
there's still some nice sweetness there. There's mm-hmm. still some good things mm-hmm. going on.
Mm-hmm. It still has some good flavor.
But I think it's fine.
Just thinned it out a little.
You know, neat. Mm-hmm. Without adding water to it mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. I like it a little better, neat.
But again, if you're serving it to someone who's kind of, you know, just learning about space sides or exploring what they like and that sort of thing, you know, an ice cube would not go amiss, probably.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cask Anam with a little water. I think that retains more flavor. And there's not, it tones down the burn at the back of the throat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. actually, I don't have any burn after putting water in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's got plenty of character left. There's more aroma than the 12 year.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
All that being said, I think my preference would be still without water. But
yeah, me too.
Yeah, because I really liked it.
I still like it. There's more going on than mm-hmm. with the 12 year with water.
Mm-hmm.
Both with water, but yeah, my preference is still neat. For this one,
I put it on ice because
mm-hmm.
I like ice.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
The
ice is good sometimes.
That has a lovely little package of flavors going on, though. When you know you put it in your mouth and swirl it about a bit, mm-hmm. it really is lovely. Okay, now the Abuna, the cask strength, non-chill filtered, ABV 60.8%. With a little bit of water.
Yeah, I don't think a little bit of water is going to calm this puppy down.
We'll see.
Well, it's probably only 95, you know, proof now with with that little water on there.
I know.
We'll see.
Mmm.
A lot of nice fruit aroma.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Tastes good.
This would be lovely perfume, frankly.
Well, we can
put it behind the back of your ears.
I think we could just do that. Just buy a bottle and put it behind your ears. Of course, if you had a traffic stop, that might not work out for you.
Oh, true. I know. All right.
No, officer, I haven't been drinking.
I've just been pouring it on myself.
Yeah, so I just put some behind my ears. You want to smell?
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Want to smell?
It's lovely.
Got a little spray.
Oh, this smells good. You can breathe it in without, you know, nose hair burning. Okay, a little scorching here and there, but.
Mm-hmm. Mm. But that's eminently more drinkable than.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This definitely needs a nice cube, I think, and just in general, unless you're just a really well seasoned, high alcohol by volume drinker, because this is kind of bitey otherwise, but the water did tame it down quite a bit.
Oh, I forgot to add that for finish, there should be a layer of sooty charcoal.
That's because your tongue just burned.
Yeah. I know, cocoa nibs.
You're tasting your burnt tongue.
You didn't need those taste buds anyway. I know.
That's true. Taste buds, they are so overrated.
Mm. My uvula is on fire.
Okay, as I
yeah, it's still a little toasty even with some water. It's got some heat. But it's
but again, extremely warming.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, I'm warm.
So it's something that if you were out chasing sheep on the moors, which makes you sound like a sheepdog, so don't give a sheepdog scotch. I don't think that's wise. But if you were out doing something cold and wet, it's a lovely, lovely.
Around here, though, just be like going outside.
I know.
Yeah, that's true. If you have to go anywhere.
Yeah. I'm going to the store. Mm-hmm. I have to get to my car. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm cold and wet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that doesn't take much
really, here. Yeah, that is really nice, though.
It is definitely so. Like, hey, if you're like have chest congestion, have a shot of this. It'll break it right up.
Well, and just breathe it for a while too. That will break up any nasal congestion.
Don't need no vapor. Was it vapor rub?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is that Vapour rub? Mm-hmm. No, it's
Vicks Vapour rub. What are you talking about?
Never mind.
Oh, okay.
But I just love the notes. You know, syrupy body, salted caramel, and oh God, it burns. Okay, once that's out of the way. You know,
it tastes really good.
It tastes really good, guys. Yeah, so I am reading the room here. I think we would recommend all of them. We would all have our individual favorites. Judy, what do you think?
Well, the 12 year is my favorite, just because it's smoother and easier to drink.
Very accessible.
Yeah, so basically it's kind of like the order we did them in is the order of my favorites.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. John?
I like the 12 year as more of a daily drinker. The, Cascanon as once in a while, and I do really like it. And the third one would be special occasions for people who really like scotch and are willing to try something a little different.
Mm-hmm. A little more challenging.
Or when you're congested.
Yeah.
In your face.
Or you're feeling sick and you just need...
Oh, God,
What were the prices of them? That we usually say the price.
Shoot, well, I can't remember.
The 12-year was like $45, I think.
Okay, and I think the others were like, you know, $70, $80 with our taxes, that kind of thing. She's got to look it up.
The Cascanon might have been $66, if I remember correctly. I saw it when I was... Mm-hmm. Total Wine today. I didn't see the other one.
But it's interesting because I've heard of Abuna, especially, you know, for a long time, and people are, you know.
This says Abuna is $95.
I don't think I paid. Well, maybe I paid that much.
Well, you had a gift card.
I had a gift card, so
and
I was profligate, I will admit.
The Cask Anum is 67. Mm-hmm. I'm rounding up, and that's before taxes and fees. And yeah, the 12-year was 46 plus taxes and fees.
Yeah, but they're all lovely. I think this is a really interesting distillery, and you know, for a Speyside, you know, a lot of places, if you go and say, you know, restaurants, bars, whatever, you know, what kind of scotch do you have? Oh, we have Glenlivet and Glenfiddich. And there's nothing wrong with those. Those are lovely scotches. Mm-hmm. But these are much more interesting and also from Speyside and have an interesting history. And it's not that I don't like Glenlivet and Glenfiddich because... Tasty.
Well, I think it's because...
But they're so common.
Well,
and
I think it's because most people... I mean, these are probably at places that they probably sell more rum and tequila than they do anything else.
That could be.
Or just American whiskeys. And, you know, I think people, when they order at a restaurant or just a basic bar, are just looking for something as pedestrian as, you know, Glenlivet and Glenfiddich. Because they are. They're just... Yeah, they're just a good,
they're
lovely, a good Speyside-y kind of scotch.
Yeah.
But this, I would say, I think you'd be more likely to find something like this in a place that is a whiskey bar that, you know, caters to people who really, really enjoy sampling different whiskeys. I think that's why you find those regular, plus they're probably cheaper as well.
One of our favorite brew pub or bar pub kind of places in town is lovely, and they have a lot of bourbon but not that many scotches. So, you know, every place you go may have a specialty of what they offer, and it's always worth asking, you know, what's your bourbon, what's your scotch, you know, what do you have that's interesting? And so, you know, talk to your server about them. They may be annoyed by this, but sometimes they're fun.
The servers don't usually know much about it.
Well,
some places
they have to
will
go
surprise
ask.
You too.
Yeah,
you might go to some.
Actually, what's fun is if you actually sit at the bar and you talk to the bartender and, you know, talk to them about that. And friends who went through Scotland, and this was like 30 years ago. God, time passes even if you're not having fun. And they, you know, what they would do is wherever they were in Scotland, and they toured, you know, for, you know, 10 days or so, they would go to the pub and they would ask the bartender, what's your favorite single malt? And the guy would give them something and they would like, oh, this is interesting. You know, that's how they discovered Islay's and sherry cask. You know, I mean, it was just so, you know, whatever you find with a bartender. And when we talked to the bartender from Stack something
571
you know, he introduced us to, you know, a single malt that was from Washington State that was amazing. So you never know what you're going to find out. Talk to the local people and find out what they like.
Good advice.
And with that homily, I will stop. So any further?
No
I think we're done. Okay. Thank you for listening, and good drinking.